Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, which brings to mind a conversation we had earlier this week. My extremely attractive audio engineer has been brainwashing me for the better part of 30 years now. It's the better part of 30 years, okay? A few weeks ago, we brought up on the show, I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head that she has brainwashed me into believing I like. When initially, when I had met her, I did not like or did not know of or would have never considered such things. And I thought of an example, actually two examples, pico de gallo and guacamole. Pico de gallo and guacamole. First of all, when I met my extremely attractive audio engineer some time ago, the better part of 30 years ago. Actually, what year is this? Yeah, the better part of 30 years ago. I didn't even know what pico de gallo was. You didn't know either.
No.
Well, I certainly had never eaten an avocado, nor would I have. Disgusting green pasty thing. Anyways. I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that my extremely attractive audio engineer could lightly prepare a piece of old shoe leather, wrap it in a tortilla, and put her homemade guacamole and pico de gallo on it, and I would eat it, and it would be delicious. You would eat it, and it would be delicious. So perhaps I'm brainwashed, but I'm enjoying every minute of it, especially if it's got pico and guac on it. All right.
That's not my idea.
It's your homemade recipe. From scratch, by the way. Now, speaking of scratch, the bird whisperer was attacked this week by a very mean rooster. And there are three roosters here on the McBurney compound that are on the skyline right now. As a matter of fact, when the one rooster attacked the bird whisperer and bit her on the face, leaving, well, could be scarred for life. It's possible. Highly unlikely, but it's possible. I grabbed my pistol and I started out for that chicken run. And that was one dead rooster. But you never saw three girls cry so hard and weep and tear up and an emotion. Daddy, please don't kill him. Please give him away. We'll find somebody to take him. I tried to convince the girls that there's nobody who wants a mean old rooster. It's going to be hard to give the rooster away. And there's three of them that need to go, frankly. They're too big. They're too mean. They're too vicious. I didn't know roosters could be that way, but boy, are they mean. So I will be finding someone to take away the roosters this coming week. The roosters shall depart the McBurney compound. Come hell or high water. They're going to be gone. My darling children will come home one day and someone will have miraculously adopted the three mean roosters. And if anyone out there in the audience wants some roosters, if you're here in the Denver metro area,
don't bother
calling me because I'm just going to kill them. I would give them to someone if they were willing to eat them. They would have to promise that they would not suffer. That's all. That's all I care about. Well, should we get right to the news? That's enough about what's going on here. I want to start with my prediction that after the election of Donald J. Trump to the presidency, we are on the cusp of the age of the celebrity Caesars. We need music for that. We need some kind of music for my age of the celebrity Caesars. Because I don't think that reverb would be enough for that. I think we need an actual, you could add some reverb and say, the age of the celebrity Caesars. but I think we need a theme song. Anyway, in Michigan, there is an announcement came out this past week from one Kid Rock, who says he plans to run for the U.S. Senate in 2018 in his home state of Michigan. Kid Rock, I said. Kid Rock. He will be announcing, I guess, he's put together an exploratory committee. He's right. He will be challenging commie, baby-killing, faggot-loving Debbie Stab Me Now. Just stab me now, Debbie. No, I'm sorry, Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, first elected some 17 years ago as a Democrat there in the great state of Michigan. So now instead of Debbie Just Stab Me Now, it will be Kid Rock. He has put up a website that is somewhat political. And here, listen. Listen to the deep and thoughtful consideration that Kid Rock has given. The following text appears on his website. In rock we trust, I'm the pimp of the nation, born free, party to the people. That's Kid Rock. You can buy hats, t-shirts, and bumper stickers on the Kid Rock website. Now, conservatives are, they're somewhat aflutter about the fact that Kid Rock is going to run. He's not a flaming communist, baby-killing faggot lover like Just Stab Me Now. And so I guess this qualifies as a conservative now. Kid Rock, please. Now I know. I only know Kid Rock from when he was, when he had a record. When was that?
90s.
In the 90s?
Dark 90s.
The darkest decade in the history of music was the 1990s. And, of course, someone like, you know when I knew it was over for rock and roll? Was when Kid Rock and Beck had albums on the charts. I thought surely the end is near. Beck, the low water of American culture, the low water mark of American culture. Him and Kid Rock. Now maybe he's grown up since then, right? Because we all said and did things when we were young that were foolish and stupid and arrogant and short-sighted. But the last thing I heard from Kid Rock couldn't have been more than 5 or 10 years ago. I heard it by accident because I don't go out seeking Kid Rock. But as I recall, it was some kind of adolescent ripoff of Sweet Home Alabama, where he glorified how wonderful it is to smoke pot and fornicate. And I think by then the guy was at least 40 years old, for crying out loud. So I haven't heard, but who knows? I can tell you that an awful lot of celebrities have taken note of the election of Donald Trump, and they're plotting right now to become the celebrity Caesars that will rule us. Oh, my goodness. Not me, they won't. The fact is, American conservatism and masculinity is so depleted that even a no-talent trailer trash punk like Kid Rock is able to pawn himself off as something other than what he is, which is part of the problem. Kid Rock, if that's your real name, get out of here with that act. Tell your story, walking Kid Rock. I said trailer trash, but that was part of, he wrote that about himself.
Mansion, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's got a mansion now, but he said he wasn't straight out of Compton. He was straight out the trailer.
Well, I have no problem with that. He couldn't choose where he's from.
Well, that's true. I don't have a problem with the fact that he grew up in a trailer, I guess.
No, I'm
sure that's fine.
His parents.
Yeah, I'm sure his parents ruined him, and then he's going to continue that. And whatever, he's the great white hope for conservatives there in Michigan against Debbie Just Stab Me Now. Debbie, please. All right. And hot on his heels from the Celebrity Caesars file, Bruce Jenner has announced that he is seriously looking at running for office. Now, the headline said Caitlyn Jenner, but I can't bring myself to say it. I just can't do it. I will not participate in Bruce Jenner's mental derangement in naming himself Caitlyn and wearing a dress. And I guess he went in for the whole surgical whatever there. I guess he did the whole rearrangement of the vesicles and the tubules and all of that, I suppose, is what I heard. Anyway, He was interviewed. He told Don Lemon back in April. Don Lemon, I said. CNN's lemon-scented, flaming, yeah. He said that he would seriously look at a run for office. Bruce is asking himself, says he's got to find out where he can do a better job. Bruce says, can I do a better job from outside, kind of working the perimeter of the political scene, being open to having sex with anybody? I'm sorry, being open to talking to anybody? I apologize for that Freudian slip. When he went with the whole transgender thing, he says, or are you better from the inside? We are in the process of determining that. That's Bruce Jenner acknowledging his split personality disorder, one of which is a freakish-looking girl in a very expensive dress and bad makeup. Bruce, I'm sorry. You just can't pull it off, my friend. Bruce has a message for President Trump. Bruce says to Trump, you made a promise to protect the LGBTQ community. Call me, he said. She said. Well, the article says she said. So the reporters at thehill.com, where I got this article, they are entertaining Bruce in his mental delusion that he's a woman, and they call him her throughout the article, except where he refers to himself as we. So there you go. You got Bruce Jenner running. You've got Kid Rock stumbling into politics. And surely this is a sign along the a signpost along the highway to hell, so to speak. And because of all this craziness in society and politics and people being allowed to call themselves they and she and he and Caitlin and who's the other one? Chelsea Manning. Well, because of all that, people are literally losing their minds. We're going to talk about exorcism from the Bad Religion file.
That's old-fashioned.
Good old-fashioned craziness. Just straight-up exorcism. No transgendered freaks, none of that. Just straight-up old-fashioned exorcism. Hey, but before I get to exorcism, I have to address the Catholics. Now, you remember... A few weeks ago, I think last week I had to correct myself because I had spoken a bit hastily when I said Catholicism was the stupidest version of Christianity, and then I retracted that, and I acknowledged that there were far more stupid versions of Christianity out there than Catholicism, but still I've upset and offended some of my Catholic brethren. And I got a message there at theweeklyworldview.com where you can feel free to go and post your comments, where chances are they'll never see the light of day and they'll never be read on this show. But if they're good, then I'll read them. Jesse sends me a message. He says, Doug, thank you for your witty and cogent podcasts. They are a welcome weekly reprieve from the moral ambiguity which permeates the culture. Recently, you have addressed your disgust with certain individuals within the Catholic Church and their heterodox behavior. I am also sickened by the rampant homosexuality within the clergy, and I find it morally repugnant. However, he says, Jesus himself founded and continually guides the Catholic Church in faith and morals. If you would like to discuss any personal issues you have with the church or Catholic theology, please contact me at your leisure. And then he signs off, Deus vos benedicat. Deus vos benedicat. So I'm asking my extremely attractive audio engineer if she knows what that means.
Uh-uh.
Deus vos benedicat.
Yeah.
Well, that means God bless you. Oh. Yeah, you know, the Catholics and the Latin and that whole thing. No, they used to just speak Latin in the church. It's like Starbucks with the venti. Yeah, exactly. Just to keep you confused, for crying out loud. I don't want a grande. I just want a small cup of coffee. I don't want a Deus vos benedicat. Just say God bless you. Anyway, Jesse, and then he gives me his phone number. And I appreciate that, Jesse. I'm glad you're listening. But let me just say... that a leader in the church, or really anyone in the church, should just speak clearly and plainly to the people. I mean, not in some esoteric language that mystifies the simple truth of God and history. I mean, just say God bless you, for crying out loud. I mean, I would point you to Nehemiah 8:8, where God tells us how the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book. The Levites read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them understand the reading. So, you know, the Catholic Church for, I don't know how many, a thousand years, did only the whole Latin thing, kept everybody in the dark. Anyway, so that leads to people misunderstanding basic fundamental truths about God and the Bible. Just speak clearly, for crying out loud. And Jesse, I'm not going to give you a call because, I might give you a call later. But I just want to say that to say that Jesus founded the Catholic Church, which, by the way, the Catholic Church means the global Christian church. To say that Jesus founded the Catholic Church, let's just analyze that from the perspective of, how about the Bible? All right. If Jesus founded and continually guides the Catholic Church, one would assume that the leadership of the Catholic Church would be a reliable source of understanding when it comes to, how about psychology? No, not psychology. How about chemistry? No, not chemistry. Wait. Chemistry might not be the best measure of their understanding. I know. Let's take the Bible. How about the Bible? The leadership of the Catholic Church should be a reliable source of understanding when it comes to the Bible. The Bible is the foundational document of the church. How about we look at that? Does the Pope and the rest of the pile over there at the Vatican appear to understand and communicate the simple and obvious truths of the Bible? Well, I think they do not. I mean, for you, Jesse, to miss the fact that the entity founded by Jesus that included Peter, to assume that that is the same entity founded by Jesus that includes Paul, is to miss one of the most obvious historic and theological events in the Bible. And if you miss that, he said to the Pope, all the way on down to Jesse here, my lovable listener, if you miss that point, that the entity founded by Jesus that included Peter is different than the entity founded by Jesus that includes Paul, if you miss that, you're not qualified to lead a church. Or at least you're not the best qualified. Let me put it that way. And you certainly shouldn't claim, as the Pope does, that you're the head of the one true global Christian church. What you need to do is go back to junior high Sunday school. Or, better yet, he said to the leadership of the Catholic Church, crack open the Bible and actually read it. How about that? And let's face it, Jesse, anyone who goes for all the Mary worship and the dubious miracles they claim to confirm their so-called saints, and the weeping paintings and the bleeding crucifixes and the various faces and the plates of pancakes, I mean, if you really buy into any of that, you've fallen from grace and into a superstitious, shallow, ignorant understanding of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And the organization that perpetrates such foolishness at some point becomes more of a stumbling block to the gospel than an effective preacher of the gospel. Now, me, I'm just a preacher. I'm not a Catholic, but I'm also not a Calvinist. So don't think I don't have any issues with the Protestants. Don't get me started on the Protestants with their ridiculous predestination and their shopping mall mega churches and their so-called youth ministers with the tattoos and the gel in their hair and their phony baloney community churches led by cowards with no idea how to help their flocks of post-abortive fornicators and adulterers and porn addicts. Don't even get me started with the Protestants. In fact, last week when I apologized for overstating that Catholicism was the stupidest form of Christianity, I actually had in mind a number of Protestant denominations that I hadn't thought of. Assemblies of God. United Methodists. Excuse me. Me, I'm a member of the body of Christ in the Pauline tradition, a fundamentalist, a theonomist, a dispensationalist, a young earth creationist, and an abolitionist. Not sure what those are? Well, look them up. Educate yourself. First things first, we're gonna change the rules. Better listen up, all you boys and girls. Your prayer says there'll be no math to school. So vote for me, now wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. And now I know there's trouble in the Middle East. I span on my money when I stop the arms race. All my brothers in the desert gonna have them for the feast. When that's gone, then we'll start a world peace.
View. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Now we got to get on to the exorcism. So all you Catholics, just I feel free to contact me and try to convince me of whatever. Okay. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters, by the way. I do indeed. And so I appreciate Jesse listening, and well, hopefully he'll keep tuning in. And maybe we'll get together. I'll give Jesse a call sometime. Now, let's move on to the exorcism. This is from the Bad Religion File. I mentioned the fact that there were numerous Protestant denominations far more stupid than Catholicism. For example, let's go to one Gordon Klingenschmitt. Yes, Gordon Klingenschmitt, a former Republican congressman here from Colorado, calls himself Chaps because he was a chaplain. In the Navy, and he is one of the least qualified people ever to preach the gospel. And when he was a congressman here in Colorado, his biblical illiteracy led to several embarrassing situations. And my pastor, Bob Enyard, here in Denver, he tried to extricate Chaps from numerous embarrassing situations. His shallow, superstitious interpretation of the Bible made it virtually impossible for anybody to help him. And he's going to talk to us about exorcism. This is from vice.com. People think exorcism is exclusively part of the whole Catholic scene, but it's not. It's also going around some of the more ridiculous Protestant denominations. Gordon Klingenschmitt, Protestant, he's an exorcist and a former state senator from Colorado Springs. I apologize, state senator, not a congressman. He says, in my experience, says Gordon Klingenschmitt, Chaps, we like to call him, in my experience, modern exorcisms are very gentle, very common, and very liberating. It's not like the movies. With the pea soup vomit and the spinning head and the glowing eyes. It's not like that, he says. No. And that's that looks like about all we have from Chaps in this article on exorcism. Then we get to the Catholics here. Now, the Catholics, they don't just exorcise people left and right willy-nilly anymore. Today, according to Vice.com, it is standard for someone to be evaluated by a mental health professional before an exorcism by a priest is even considered. In the last few decades, exorcism in the Catholic Church has been revived. There's been a resurgence of Catholic exorcisms. In fact, priests today are inundated by people diagnosing themselves and insisting that they need an exorcism. That's right.
We know what that's all about.
Okay. Thank you, boys. Just not to put too fine a point on it, but, well, hopefully you know what we're talking about there. So. Yeah, on the news, they call marijuana medication out here. So. Anyway, most of these people are just sick. They've got physical and psychological maladies, but instead of going to the doctor, they think they need an exorcism. Yes, this phenomenon was recently documented by a French newspaper, which reported that the United States went from having 12 exorcists back in 2000 to the fact that we had 12 is a little astonishing. But now we had 85 registered exorcists in 2014. 2014 was the year the Vatican formally recognized the International Association of exorcists. I apologize. It's a collection of Catholic priests performing exorcisms all around the globe. And they even host their own annual meeting, and they have courses on exorcism. Last year, 150 priests attended the big exorcism show, Exorcism Expo 2016. This year, 2017, there's 250 priests planning to attend ExorCon. I don't know. The Exorcism Con. The Vatican, according to Vice.com, has recently adopted a policy to have at least one exorcist in every diocese to meet the increasing demand for exorcisms, I said. Okay. Yeah, that's at the trade show. You can go and get a free demo of an exorcism. And then if you like it, you can sign up for an exorcism, a real full-length exorcism where they don't hold anything back with the cracking of the neck and the spilling the holy water. They splash it on you, the whole deal. All right. Now here's something that's not funny at all, though. I do want to point this out. A large majority of the people seeking exorcism, in fact, about 75% of the people seeking exorcisms are women who have been victims of some sort of sexual abuse. And so that's not funny at all, because that actually breaks somebody's mind when they're abused sexually. Vice reports that this phenomenon of battered women seeking exorcisms could suggest that many of those who believe they are victims of possession could really be suffering from psychological trauma. Yeah, I think so. I think I even came to that conclusion before I even got to the part about the women who have been abused, which is a tragedy. And here's the thing. Many people, especially younger people, what they don't realize is that, forget rape and incest and physical abuse, but simple fornication and adultery and the consumption of pornography, these also lead to psychological trauma that is real and that can eventually lead some people to lose their minds. The hookup culture. The ubiquitous pornography that floods every crevice of our society today. These produce genuine psychological trauma that if you are unable to reconcile your mind with the mind of your Creator, the living God and Lord of the universe, by His Son, Jesus Christ, if you're not able to reconcile yourself, you could end up losing your mind. And you could end up seeking an exorcism because you think you're possessed when, in fact, you're just broken. And in most cases, we've brought it upon ourselves, this brokenness. And you don't need a demon cast out, and you don't need the laying on of hands. What you need is to hear the straight up simple gospel and the fact that Jesus Christ can heal your mind and he can elevate your soul so that you no longer have to be insane. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for tuning in. As we continue with the descent of man into virtually insanity, as we become further and further unmoored from the faith that once kept us all sane. I have, by the way, posited the theory that atheism leads to insanity. To one degree or another, atheism leads to insanity. I mean, even people who believe in God have a hard time keeping it together. And can you imagine what it must be like? Well, let's just go here. I've got another. I don't want to do Bruce Jenner anymore. Just get out of here. Let's go to the stupid religion file, since that seems to be the theme of the day. Evangelical leaders this past week laid hands upon Donald Trump. They said prayers over him in the Oval Office. One Rodney Howard Brown led a prayer circle, and Donald Trump was at the center, and they laid on hands upon Mr. Trump. Oh, I've got quotes here. I don't even think I could do it. I don't think I've got a quote from one of these shallow, ignorant evangelical morons. Do I want to do this? I'm probably going to offend some people. Rodney Howard Brown was the leader, and he is also an advocate of the concept of holy laughter, which is uncontrollable outpouring of joy and giggling caused by the Holy Spirit. You're at church, and they lay them hands upon you, and you just start laughing and tearing up, and that's where he's all. And he was laying his hands on Donald Trump, one of the pastors there. Posted up on Facebook, she said, "Thank you, Jesus, cover your president, Lord, anoint him, and fill him with the Holy Spirit, for your will to be done, hallelujah, thank you, Abba. Praise God and fill him, Jesus, with your spirit. Keep your hands upon him, it's time we have a president that puts America first and belief in the Almighty God, the one that can change everything. Thank you, pastors, for obeying God and surrounding our president with all of your prayers. And thank you, President Trump, for allowing us to pray for you." All right. Let's see. Is that all I've got on that? Anyway. So you got a bunch of biblically illiterate. I mean, they're the equivalent of cartoon characters. These holy laughter, snake handling. Anyway, it's just embarrassing. So you Catholics, you got nothing on us, Protestants. You got nothing on us. We're laying hands on Donald Trump, for crying out loud. So, all right. Now, we go from that to the science. Really? File. We got to talk a little bit about climate change. A report from The Guardian says that according to a new study, designed to identify the most effective ways people can cut their carbon emissions, The greatest impact an individual can have in fighting climate change is to have one fewer child. That's right. It's better than selling your car, avoiding long flights, eating vegetarian, gluten-free, going vegan, non-GMO, turning off the lights, LEDs, those squiggly fluorescent bulbs. None of them compare to simply having one fewer child. Listen to this. The Guardian reporter actually puts this in a sentence. Carbon emissions must fall to 2 tons of CO2 per person by 2050 to avoid severe global warming. Just states that as a fact. Just states it as a fact because, well, the average moron out there actually believes this stuff. They also say currently that the average person in America excretes 16 tons of CO2 pollution every year. 16 tons. That's what, but they say the biggest ultimate impact on bringing down the CO2 is having one fewer child. They equated it to a reduction of 58 tons of CO2. Well, they amortize it over your life, or your kid's life, your grandkids' life. All the kids that never came into existence, they give you like carbon credits for the kids you didn't have. But so you can reduce your carbon footprint by 58 tons for each year of a parent's life for the kids they didn't have, oddly enough. Which begs the question, wouldn't suicide be extremely effective as well?
And no pets.
Oh, absolutely no pets. And no cattle and no livestock, for crying out loud. They're just emitters. They're just gross emitters of CO2. So anyway, so that's the science really file. We have that now. Okay, and moving on into the decline and fall file, we go to England, as we so often do when discussing and ruminating over the decline and fall of Western civilization. We often find ourselves in the former Great Britain. Over in England, developing cancer is now more common than getting married or having your first baby. Begging the question, is cancer going up? Or is marriage and childbearing going down? Well, it's probably some combination of the two, but my guess is the latter has the greater impact. There were about 360,000 cancers diagnosed in Britain in 2014, compared to 290,000 marriages. People are getting cancer at a faster pace. Let's see, about 270,000 babies were born to first-time mothers in England in 2015, compared to over 300,000 new cases of cancer. So what you have here, I believe, is a combination of a hedonistic generation of homosexuals and fornicators, along with the continued breakdown of human genetics and our immune system, which is breaking down year after year, generation after generation. So you got those two things happening. And now, you're more likely to get cancer in Britain than you are to get married, for crying out loud. Which is just a sad state. And another milestone, as we report on the decline and fall of Western civilization. And speaking of that, let's go to Emmanuel Macron, who is the new socialist, homosexualist prime minister there in France. A poster boy of the decline and fall of Western civilization, in my humble opinion. He has stunned his left liberal admirers, according to Breitbart, by saying that Africa does not need more aid. And if he would have just stopped right there, I would have said, wow. Emmanuel Macron, I thought he was a total socialist. He's saying Africa does not need more aid. Furthermore, he says Africa's problems are civilizational rather than financial. And that's where he should have stopped, but he didn't. He was being interviewed by an Ivory Coast journalist at the G20 meeting. And he was asked how many there at the G20 would be willing to commit to the equivalent of an African Marshall Plan. If you don't know what the Marshall Plan is, you probably matriculated in America's government schools. Go look it up. Educate yourselves. The Prime Minister of France surprised listeners by saying he did not think that a Marshall Plan type operation would be a viable solution to Africa's problems. He said, quote, "The problems in Africa, the problems they face are completely different. They are civilizational. What are the problems? Failed states, complex democratic traditions, and extremely difficult demographic transitions." At which point everybody in the room was like, what is he talking about? Nobody can tell what this guy's talking about. Could you please clarify, Mr. Macron? What do you mean by that? So he clarified, let me clarify demographic transitions. These African women having 7 or 8 children per woman. This is the difficult demographic transition. So he says that Africans basically need to have fewer children. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and so Mr. Macron has lost his mind. What Africa needs is some young men to stand up and lead Africa out of darkness. And choking off their posterity is not the way to increase the chance that some of these African kids end up leading their entire continent out of the dark ages. They need more kids in Africa, for crying out loud. Now, by the way, I didn't know this. In Niger, which is a country in Africa, about 50% of the population is 14 years old or under. More than half the population. So tell me there's not hope there. You've got all these young kids. What we need is missionaries who are not a bunch of biblical illiterates to go and show these kids how they can raise up their fellow man and honor Jesus Christ and the living God by creating a good government, good system of justice and economic liberty, and cast off the dictators and the demagogues in Africa, and get rid of the welfare, for crying out loud. Macron's right about one thing. The last thing Africa needs is more welfare, but the one thing they need is more children created in the image and likeness of the living God. Because that's what can save Africa, is young men brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord who can create a proper, just, and free state there in Africa. And, well, we wish them the best on that. It's going to be difficult, but it can be done. After all, they could be living in Baltimore. Baltimore, I said. Yes. I have a report here from Breitbart. A group called Baltimore Ceasefire is asking residents of the city to make the first weekend in August a special weekend in which, quote, nobody kills anybody. That's right. They're seeking a 72-hour ceasefire where residents can have cookouts, block parties, neighborhood cleanups, and other positive community-based activities instead of hiding in their homes or attending or planning funerals, which is how a vast swath of the population of Baltimore spend their days now, hiding and ducking from the gunfire and planning and executing funerals is what they're doing. Baltimore's murder rate has been reported now to be twice that of Chicago, and Chicago gets a lot of press, but Baltimore, it's a bloodbath in Baltimore, to the point where you have a group organized around the idea of, well, just trying to get 72 hours, just stop the slaughter for just 72 hours, please. And that would be considered some sort of step forward, apparently. Yes, Baltimore Ceasefire, up on their website, they ask people to take the hashtag Baltimore Peace Challenge and pledge not to shoot each other. That's a tall order. We want you to pledge not to shoot each other for 72 hours in August. So, I mean, you know you're in trouble when that looks good. Just let's just try not slaughtering each other for 3 days.
What's going to be after?
After the 3 days, it's every man for himself, apparently, in Baltimore. Well, here's the problem. When a city like Baltimore, when the innocent can be slaughtered in our midst, not just in Baltimore, not just in the poor neighborhoods with all the broken homes and the gangs, but in the nicely manicured suburbs and the lily-white suburbs where the innocent are slaughtered by the thousands every single day in America, that leads naturally to a lack of respect for the value of human life, and it degenerates day by day by day until you end up with war zones in Baltimore where they're just begging that they could maybe leave their house for a couple of days. Well, those of you who support this culture of killing the innocent, you deserve to have to hide out in your houses. You deserve the bullets whizzing over your head because you have rejected the sanctity of the lives that God has given us. And for that, you will receive the punishment. And that's what's happening to our society and the world overall. Why is there so much violence and bloodshed and hatred in the world? It's because we're killing the most innocent among us every day. And we're doing it in a very clean, clinical manner, on an industrial scale. And you just can't do that and just expect to get away with it. Eventually that violence is going to come back down upon your head. And of course, it comes down upon the poorest first. But all of this is coming to a white suburb near you. So, as always, we advocate for the abolition of the legalized murder of innocent children in America so that we can somehow recover our soul and hopefully salvage the next generation from the punishment that is surely due. I'm Doug McBurney, and this is the Weekly Worldview. Thank you very much for tuning in this week. I want to go now into the culture file, where a report from USA Today tells us that America is experiencing a striking rise in suicides among middle school students. A suicide rate among 10 to 14-year-olds has doubled between 2007 and 2014, and suicide now has surpassed auto accidents as a cause of death for children aged 10 to 14 years old. Researchers and educators and psychologists say there are several factors contributing to the increase in suicide among 10 to 14-year-olds. Increased pressure on students to achieve academically. I find that hard to believe. I mean, I went to the public schools. The pressure to achieve academically even 35 years ago was, well, it just wasn't that great. I'm sorry. And I don't see that it's any more significant today. More economic uncertainty. You're 10 to 14 years old. You don't even know what economic means. You don't have any economic uncertainty, for crying out loud. Let's see. Increased fear of terrorism. Are you serious? increased fear of terrorism, and social media. That's their favorite. Social media is the root of all evil, apparently, with the psycho babblers, the researchers, and the educators, whoever they are. They say that these are the factors they suspect are behind the rise in suicide among the young. Indeed, that's what they say. I have a quote here from a psycho babbler from Rutgers who says, quote, middle school is a very difficult time. Some young people are starting puberty. Some started before others. Some started later. And, of course, others are still discerning their sexual orientation. Is what this difficult time, you see. They're trying to figure out who they are, you understand, is what the research and is indicating. It's a difficult time. So here's the problem. Number one, these children, the reason they're trying to figure out who they are is because their parents didn't teach them who they are. And as a parent, it's your responsibility to teach your child who they are, for crying out loud. It's not a matter of letting them discover their orientation. It's a matter of teaching your children that they're made in the image of the living God, that they're children of God, that they're accountable to God, that they can be a friend of the living God, the creator of the universe, and that God loves them and he cares about them. It's your obligation to teach your children that. If you don't do that, you're abusing your children, frankly. And you're setting them up for failure and possibly even to start pondering suicide in middle school. Because instead of teaching them that in the beginning, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Instead of teaching them that, you let them explore and try to discover their sexual orientation. They could get very confused and hurt and psychologically damaged, and some may even kill themselves. In fact, some are. So teach your children who they are. Don't let the world be a part of your children discovering who they are, because it's very dangerous. The world is a dangerous place, full of evil, wicked people who want to hurt your children. So protect your children. Teach them who they are. And I guess that's all I've got to say about that. Now, a break from the insanity of following the continued decline and fall of Western civilization. We go to the real American hero file. And we're going to go to Panama City Beach, Florida, where a young lady named Roberta and her husband, her mother, and nephews and sons were enjoying the sun and the beach there in Panama City out at the pier. When Roberta noticed that her sons, the little kids, were much further from shore than she thought, and she got nervous, and then she heard the young boys start to scream, and so her and some of her family members swam out to the kids, but they got caught in a rip current, and pretty soon they were all trapped out there, and it was a dangerous situation. There were 9 people trapped out in about 15 feet of rolling water, and it was scary. So another young lady named Jessica and her husband, they started to recruit dozens of other men there on the beach, and they formed a human chain, one person at a time. They locked arms until they got far enough out there to bring all of the swimmers safely back to shore. So you might think you're a great American. Somebody might even tell you you're a great American. But this lady and her husband, these are great Americans. I mean, that is heroic. To recruit other people there on the beach to risk their lives, to save the life of someone they don't even know, it's just amazing. And it renews my faith in humanity, as little of that as there is left. And we just want to say thank you for shining a light, Roberta Yersri, Roberta and her husband, and all the other people who locked arms to save all those people's lives. That was just awesome, and I was glad to read that story. And let's see, do I have another uplifting? Let me go through here. That's awful. Oh, shit. Oh, Venezuela, that's no, you don't want to hear it. Man jumps into a volcano, commits suicide. I don't think we want to go there. The Satanists are putting up a monument in Minneapolis. Planned Parenthood's made a deal with the WNBA franchise, the Seattle Storm, to promote murdering innocent children amongst the teenage girls. That's not very uplifting. Oh, no. Well, so we don't have any uplifting stories. Instead, we end up rock bottom of the bad religion file as Cardinal George Pell has arrived to face charges. He was the Vatican economy minister and the highest ranking church official there in the Catholic Church to face accusations of, he says child abuse is what they call it here. Okay. Now he says he's innocent. And of course we want to wait until there's a trial before we cast any aspersions directly on Cardinal George Pell. But large numbers of personnel in the Catholic Church have been charged with, well, let's not mince words here. They say child abuse in this article. What they've been accused of is raping young boys. Okay. And so to my Catholic brothers and sisters out there, who I love, when there's an epidemic in your church of leaders, men, raping young boys, perhaps it's time for that church, that human institution, to be abandoned. I mean, it's not like they got caught cheating on their expense accounts. Or even seducing a woman outside of marriage, which would be bad enough. They're raping young boys. And so when there's an epidemic of that, at the leader, the highest levels of your church, me personally, I would probably leave that church. But that's just me personally. I mean, it's the whole raping young boys thing. I mean, anyway, I just want to throw that out there. For my Catholic brothers and sisters. What's that now?
Exorcism don't work on it.
The exorcism apparently doesn't help with the urge to rape the young boys, apparently. That's all right. I don't want to do all these other stories. Let's end here. I already talked about the Satanists in Minnesota. Yeah, who cares? Planned Parenthood and the baby killers, just unbelievable. Let's end in Venezuela because it's almost over in Venezuela. The clock is ticking. I pulled this story down from the Washington Post. Ana Margarita Rangel spends everything she earns just to fend off hunger. Just to fend off hunger. This article is amazing. I'll put up a link. A tube of toothpaste costs half a week's wages. And this mother talks about how she always used to love to brush her teeth before going to bed. But she can't do that anymore because she can't afford toothpaste. This is in the godless socialist utopia of Venezuela. 700% annual inflation, chronic shortages of food and medicine. A large number of Venezuelans are spending everything they earn just to avoid starvation. The minimum wage is enough to buy about a quarter of the food needed by a family for a month. So they're only able to buy about a quarter of what they actually need. On July 1st, President Maduro raised the monthly minimum wage, and that solved everything. Now things are looking up. Actually, no, that didn't happen. He increased it by 20%, but inflation is running at about 700%. With Venezuelan's currency rapidly losing value, the new minimum wage is enough for about 6 pounds of milk powder or 5 cartons of eggs. That's for the month. The average worker's income in Venezuela is worth about $33 per month. How bad is that? In Haiti, the average monthly income is $135 a month. Haiti, for crying out loud. The government sets prices on basic foods, but those can only be obtained by standing in line for hours and signing up to receive a subsidized grocery box from the government. You get that once a month that has enough food for your family for about a week. Maduro has increased the minimum wage 16 times. But inflation has wiped out the increase almost as soon as the ink dries on the declarations of this lying, thieving, socialist, godless heathen who's there's going to have to be some young men in Venezuela who step up and lead their country out of the darkness as well. And that's why we're here. We're here to be a beacon to the world. We want you to know that there is an answer, and it lies in the person of Jesus Christ and the truths that he taught. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm Doug McBurney, my extremely attractive audio engineer, wishes you all well. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.